Welcome to another edition of SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson along with Mike Prado, the editor of SB Nation DC and from Bullets Forever. And it is that time of year, playoffs, and of course...
Thought you were going to say the end of the Wizards season.
Oh, well, yeah, I was going to get to that. Well, there's playoffs for the Capitals, obviously. And yes, the Wizards season is over. We hope to think in the near future, as John Wall does, that it will be continuing. Of course, the Nats are just getting started, but I think we've seen in the early going of the season as much better as the Nats could be right now. It's going to be tough sledding in the NL East because of those stinking Philadelphia Phillies.
And their fans.
Yeah, among others, exactly. But let's start with this week. I mean, look, the Capitals several years ago, after flaming out with the quick fix with Jaromír Jágr and Robert Lang and company, decided to blow it up and start over. Ted Leonsis reached out to the fans, told them what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. People maybe didn't like it and really didn't support it, you know, as in terms of going to the games, but they respected him for doing it. He's trying to do the same thing right now with the Wizards and has, you know, made some progress there. And obviously the Nationals on the other side from day one have kind of had a longer-term plan too. And have made progress, but again, as we said, it's still a lot of uphill climbing in a very difficult NL East. As we look at it, a half-full approach first. Let's start there. Give me a half-full for the Wizards and for the Nationals at this point.
Well, let's start with the Wizards, because it's certainly something I've been following very
your
closely
wheelhouse.
All year. The half-full approach is that they have their superstar. They have their Ovechkin and John Wall.
Sure.
And John Wall is a special, special player, and John Wall is a special person in terms of building your franchise around. You know, I love the way he's approached the whole season. It's been a really tough year for him in a lot of ways, but as a rookie point guard, it's really tough sledding in this league, and I think he's learned a lot of things. And as you can see, it's just so easy to be good a good point guard in this league if you really put in the work, and he's willing to put in the work. And I actually like that he came out and said he expects the playoffs next
sure.
year.
Why not?
It adds a little bit of a sense of urgency to the organization. I think that's good in an era where, you know, you only have these guys as a rookie contract for so long. So that's the good news. They have that. They have a lot of cap space, you know, going into the lockout, and that's going to be good because you never know what happens there.
Sure.
They're going to get another high lottery pick. They got a number of intriguing young players. I think the Capitals built with kind of a critical mass of youth. And if you're going to use that logic with the Wizards, they're in pretty good position there. And veterans, they still need some more veterans, but maybe Mo Evans is the guy. And those are the kinds of pieces that you can add along the way, you know, in a lot
sure.
of ways. So you could argue that at least. So I think when you look at it that way, you know, the Cavs were bad for a couple years. The Oklahoma City Thunder were bad for a couple years. This year's team was bad, but bad in an optimistic way, and I think they made progress on the rebuild this year. So in that sense, I think there's your half glass, their glass half full look at it.
Yeah, with the Wizards. Yeah, I'd agree. The money part of it's big. The picks are big. And obviously, you know, we could really have a half full approach with the Wizards if they were to win the lottery again or get that second pick and say the team that wins the lottery was really high on Kyrie Irving, and then that would mean Derek Williams would fall in the Wizards' lap. And I think a lot of people
yep.
would really be excited if that were to happen. Now, national side of things, certainly it may be a little tougher to look at it now because obviously Steven Strasburg's not pitching, but assuming he comes back well, we've seen what Jordan Zimmermann's done coming back from the same surgery. He's been really solid at this point. Feel great about him. Would feel better, obviously, once Strasburg's back on the field. You know, and also the fact that the Nationals, you know, they have been able to bring in a big-time free agent. Whether you agree with how much they paid for him, it really shouldn't matter. It's not your money.
That's
Jason
true.
Worth.
And there's no cap. So.
Yeah, and there's no cap. So Jason Worth... They were able to at least go out and do that. And some of the things they've said they wanted to do have proven out to this point as far as getting better as far as pitching and defense is concerned, although defense has had some poor moments at times. But
yeah.
still lacking that bat and things like that. But, you know, as far as the minor leagues, I mean, Bryce Harper's been as good as advertised at this point. You know, that part of it, I just think there's still more questions to me just because the way baseball can be so unforgiving
yep.
sometimes
well,
for
also,
the Nationals.
How deep are they, really, in terms of, like, this organizational talent? I mean, Strasburg is great, obviously.
Right.
Bryce Harper looks like he's going to be a stud. Jordan Zimmermann is promising. They've got a number of other guys who are interesting.
Yeah, I think Storin's going to be good, although right now Storin, obviously,
yeah,
he's not the closer.
Right, he's
you know,
not playing well. And
he's not as good as they thought he would be. But I think the bullpen and the big league level has been really good.
But not this year, though. I mean, they've really struggled. And while they have – I mean, Zimmerman's got – they have 2 years left until Ryan Zimmerman becomes a free agent. And then beyond, I guess, those guys, Wilson Ramos is kind of promising. Ian Desmond has really struggled. Danny Espinosa is interesting, but I don't think we can point to Danny Espinosa and say that's a cornerstone.
Well, that's why I'd say I think the Nationals maybe have more questions in that regard. But here's a great equalizer in baseball. If you want to do it, and the Nats showed it with one guy this year, and maybe that'll be enough for them to do it, is you can plug holes if you want to just throw out some money.
That's true. And they have a lot of money to throw out.
And they do
out.
Have money to spend. And I know the tough part is if you're not bringing the revenue in, and obviously we've seen early in the season, you know, the seats haven't exactly been filled. Needless to say, Philly fans carried that series against the Nats, especially the final two games. So you're still dealing with a lot of that. And I know the big excuse always is in every baseball town in America that doesn't draw early, well, the kids are still in school.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. I get that. There is some adults, though, that like baseball that don't have kids in yep. school that will go to games, and maybe they just need the warmth of the summer. I don't know. But, you know, those kind of things, you know, concern you a little bit with the Nats, no doubt. I do see some of the big picture progress they've been talking about, but I also wonder, we'll talk about this later, Byron Kerr, is if maybe they have the middle of their infield flipped or mixed up, and they
yep.
need to flip it around
with
Desmond
too.
As a second baseman and Espinosa as a short, too.
Well, the thing that I think is interesting that you're talking about here is that you're saying, okay, they can just plug any of their holes with a free agent. And I think that's true in baseball.
Conceivably.
You could.
Yeah.
But then they're not really following the Caps model. They're doing something different.
No,
I mean, if you really think about it.
Right.
I mean,
although the Caps have kind of done that, though, too, in a sense, in their way of getting guys like Arnett and Knuble and players like that. They're not necessarily bringing them up. You've got to have some mix, but you've got to have a core that is youthful and in your guys, if you will, and then you know, pull in as you can.
That's true.
Throughout it. And obviously there's a lot of holes to fill in all rosters and yeah. you know, you have different lines in the hockey, and obviously in baseball you got a much bigger lineup each night for starters is concerned, and then obviously your pitching staff and your bullpen.
Right. I think there are three possible cornerstones of this team, the Nationals. You have Ryan Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, and Bryce
sure.
Harper. Strasburg's got his arm problems. Zimmerman's a free agent in 2 years, and Harper's 18.
Yes.
So I don't really. They need some of these other guys to really step up, and I'm not convinced with a lot of them. I mean, if you're hoping they need, I think 4 or 5 of the group of Jordan Zimmerman, Desmond Espinosa, Wilson Ramos, and Storen to be, and whoever else you know that they have coming through the pipeline. They need like 4 of those guys to really be cornerstones, and I don't know if they can really rely on anyone more than 2 of them being cornerstones. I mean, right now, only Jordan Zimmerman looks like a guy that they would keep around. So I just think they need much more organizational depth to be able to do what the Capitals have been doing. And if they don't have it, they're going to have to spend a lot of money. And they're going to have to overpay because right now they're not very good, and they're probably not going to be very good this year.
Well, I think that, and again, this is the tough part, and we'll talk about this with Byron. I mean, goodness sakes, I mean, you could be much better, and it may not matter because the Phillies are just that good with what they can roll up pitching, you know, pretty much every night. I mean, maybe you get Joe Blanton, as the Nats did this week, but then, you know,
right.
Here comes Roy Halladay, here comes Cliff Lee, sorry, game over. And obviously the Nats are lacking with bats, too. I also think another asset or a positive, a check plus or whatever you want to put it, in the Nats case is the fact that the most powerful agent in the sport apparently has a good relationship with him.
Yeah. Well, you know? Let's see if signing all his clients is really paying off. I mean, it's tough to say that, you know, they have a good relationship, or is it really just more that the Nats will do whatever he wants? So,
well, yeah.
I think it's that needs to be seen how that plays out. You know, that could be a good thing. That could be a bad thing.
Well, I just think of it in the Wizards case where several years back, a decade or so ago, when David Falk was the man in the NBA and they had a horrendous relationship with him and it hurt them.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And
but
just,
isn't this
not a good way to do
it? But could this be slinging too much the other way?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, that's a fair question. Scott Boras may be the guy in control here, and that may be
right.
part of the problem. Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. That's a fair
question.
Interesting.
So I think the Nats are definitely further away, you know. I also think it's just tougher in baseball. Baseball's
I do too.
A straight, but you could also the thing about basketball, and I've been saying this a lot with you, is that you can't. The Caps kind of have this critical mass of young talent that just keeps coming through. It's like waves and waves of
yeah.
great young players. I don't think you can do that in the NBA.
Well, yeah, and obviously there's no minor league per se. Sorry, D League fans.
Right, there's not not yet at least. I think ideally there would be, but there's not yet.
Yeah, ideally they want that, and hey, that's a good thing with baseball too. You have the minor leagues, you can stash guys, you know, until they're really really ready, and you have that thing. And yeah, but that's the thing that does hurt the NBA. You're right. I don't think you can necessarily win with complete youth. And look, we talk about this Oklahoma City model all the time, but what do they just do? They got rid of one of their younger guys. Not that Kendrick Perkins is 100 years old or anything, but
right.
You know, they went a little bit more veteran savvy there in that sense, and obviously got bigger too.
Yeah,
when moving Jeff Green.
So. Oh, that was exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was exactly. But you always need to make that move, I think, in the NBA. Very rarely do you have guys just grow up together and it just all works out. That day and age is long gone in the NBA, I believe. But you know, again, the league gets younger all the time, so who knows what we're going to see on the other side of this. You know, labor situation too. It could
right.
change the game plan. But I will say this is the Wizards. I mean, you got to like the assets, as you pointed out, the fact that they have the picks, the money. But one of the a couple of the big concerns is, first of all, Andre Blatch.
Yeah, I don't really know where he fits in.
Where does he fit in? And if he doesn't, what can you really get for him? Is there a market for him? That remains to be seen. And can you say, and I know JaVale McGee, you know, numbers wise, it'll show he had a much better season and he's there, but is he really the guy you're going to say is going to be your starting center for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, that's another tough one, although I think that one is, they're in better shape there. I think he finished the year very strong.
No, I think he did too, but it's just, you know, it's
yeah, I know what you're
things.
Saying, though.
It's a tough thing. And granted, it's not like it's the old days where there's everybody's got a center, you know, situation, a dominant center. That's not, it's, you know, Shaq
yeah.
and guys like that are the dinosaurs. I mean, they're going away. I mean, that's just, it doesn't
yeah.
exist anymore.
And what do you do in the perimeter with Nick Young and Jordan Crawford? That's
yeah.
a tricky situation because they do play the same position.
Yep.
And they're both, they bring certain things to the table. If you keep Nick Young, what you're really saying is that he's your guy.
Yeah.
But,
because you're going to have to invest in him, obviously.
Right. How does that play out if you keep him with Crawford? Everybody's like, oh, they can just be three great guards. I don't know if that really works. Like,
yeah, everybody always likes to bring up the old Detroit thing, you know, with Vinny the Microwave coming off the bench.
I mean, but the thing is that Dumars
so
was so good that it was they had to do it.
Yeah, Dumars was a stud, and you know, Isaiah also was an ultimate playmaker too. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know if it works that way. And plus, you know, now with the salaries is the other issue. I mean, because you're going to have to pay all of them. I mean, obviously, if Jordan on the hook on his rookie contract, he's
I don't think that's as big of a problem. They had Jordan on the rookie deal for a long time.
Yeah, they got him. That's fine. But you know, you're going to have to pay Nick Young. Although they may say to Nick Young, check the market and come check back with us. And I don't know if enough people around the league are going to say, yeah, man, we got to get us some Nick Young because
I agree.
He did this with the Wizards. I just don't see the market for him.
But even if you pay him an affordable price, I think there are a lot of issues that potentially come up with, you know, who's the guy.
Sure.
Now, I don't know. That could get solved. I don't know. I mean, that's something they got
to
figure
out.
Well,
and it could be a good thing to have the competition, too, if both guys take the right approach to it and if it's handled correctly.
Yeah, but everybody says that. I don't think that really works in the NBA.
Well, it should.
And it doesn't,
again,
though.
Maybe with the new I guess we should say retooled NBA that we'll see on the other side after guys are missing paychecks for a while, that people will change their perception of what they should be okay with. You know, and I think that's the hope of the owners, quite frankly, is that they kind of get it back under control where people get a reality check as to what's going on. But I don't know if that works. It sounds great right now. We'll see if people have the stomach for it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I just think there's so much unknown in the league, and I don't really. It's really hard for us to really talk about exactly what
sure.
works because we don't really know how it all kind of plays out with salaries. I mean, I know that in the past model, I would have been very careful about overpaying average guys.
Sure.
And I think, I mean, I've written about this before. You got to be really careful because it's not the big contracts because there are so many average guys that go on the market every single year, and there are so many means for signing those guys that it just doesn't make sense to lock up one for 5 years. I mean, you can sign average guy for the mid-level so easily in the old model. In the new model, I don't know. That's the tough question.
Yeah, and that's the one that obviously we'll start to hopefully get an answer to down the road here in the next few months as they go towards this, whatever it is going to be, the newfangled NBA, whatever they end up agreeing upon. All right, coming up, something we all can all agree upon, the Redskins need a lot of positions. The man from draftheadquarters.com, Sean Zobel, is going to join us to talk about it next.
And he is very good at what he
yes.
does. If you haven't heard of him, he routinely beats out the bigger companies that
yeah.
do these mock drafts. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, Sean Zobel, very good, from draftheadquarters.com. We're going to have him coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio. I want to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. Also, hit us up on Facebook. Like us. That way you can, you know, conversate with us on the page as well. Or critique. Either or.
Or either praise. Or praise. We do or do praise. Some good things,
yes,
sometimes.
Sure, you could do that as well if you want to be a nice person. And that's, well, it rarely happens on websites. All right, coming up, we'll get to that. SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan.